Our scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark today, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 10. This is the reading for Palm Sunday. When Jesus and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem near Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead and said to them, "Go into the village, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, "The Lord needs it." And the bystanders allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and people threw their cloaks on it, and Jesus sat on it, and many people spread their cloaks on the road. And others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. And then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." The Lord always blesses the reading of the Holy Scripture. Thanks be to God. I'd like us to take a close look at this particular scripture, because it gives us some concepts of how Jesus understood and applied power in his day. The story starts out quite odd. Jesus says to his disciples, "Go get a donkey." Now, it strikes me as odd, no matter how many times I've heard the story. Go ahead into the town and get a donkey. But when we start to understand what that means, we begin to understand it from the phrase, if anyone asks you why you're untying that donkey, then tell them the Lord needs it. In those days, Jesus didn't refer to himself as the Lord, hardly ever. In fact, the only people that were openly called the Lord were those that were part of the imperial power structure around Jerusalem, those who were associated with the Roman Empire, those who were associated with the military, those who were associated with the occupying forces that lived in that area. And the rule was this, that if you had something that soldiers needed, then they could come to you and they could say, "In the name of the Lord, I'm going to take your sheep," or "In the name of the Lord, I'm going to take your house," or "In the name of the Lord, I'm going to take this pile of grain over here." That was a common thing. If somebody said, "The Lord needs it," then everyone knew that there was no use resisting. You just go ahead and let it go. So here's Jesus. He says to the people who are going to go fetch this donkey, "If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" And according to Mark, the Lord will turn it back. He will return it to you then. And that was also generally, it was actually pretty generous compared to how the soldiers normally treated the occupied people. So as we begin to think about that, we begin to think that Jesus is going to assume some role of authority here. And this was good news, actually, for people who were tired of the authorities that they did have. If somebody else was going to come along, particularly a nice Jewish boy like Jesus, a nice Jewish man, a lot of people were all for that. A lot of people were ready for a new Lord. They were tired of the government that was running things in that area. So when Jesus came around and said, "The Lord needs this," in a sense, this was almost a sign of the start of the revolution, a time for people to gather together and unite with each other so that they could overthrow the empire. And sure enough, as Jesus' disciples took the donkey and brought it back to Jesus, there seemed to be excitement all around because word spread very quickly that the Lord has requested a donkey. And here in these villages where a revolution might be thought to start, because these were not like the center of the Roman or imperial powers out here on the east side of Jerusalem. So there was a pretty good sense that perhaps this Lord was going to be the one to replace the powers that be. So Jesus takes this, he gets the donkey, and he decides to ride the donkey. Now, this is about the only time we know anything in the scriptures about how much Jesus weighed. This was a young donkey, and donkeys, young donkeys that were of size to ride would have been about 400 pounds. And we're told that a donkey could carry about 20 to 25% of its own weight. So if this is a young donkey at the lower end of the weight of 400 pounds, this leaves Jesus weighing about 100 pounds. So you can maybe think of somebody you know who weighs 100 pounds, and that gives us a little idea of how big Jesus was. Sorry to all the movie stars, all of the hunks that have played Jesus over the years, but they got the wrong typecast in there. So here's Jesus, and he gets on this donkey, and he begins to head into toward the city of Jerusalem. Now, at the moment, they're up on the Mount of Olives. That's not in the city of Jerusalem. In order to get from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, you have to go west. You have to go westward. You have to go down a valley, a steep valley, a treacherous valley, and then you have to go up the hill and into Jerusalem itself. So this is another thing that a normal king would never do. A normal king would never approach Jerusalem from the east side, from the side of the Mount of Olives. Normal kings, generals, governors, military leaders, etc., the normal elite powers always came into Jerusalem from the west. The road coming in from the west was wide, and it was easily traveled, and you could put your big horses there, and you could assemble the crowds, and it was expected that when these powerful leaders entered the city of Jerusalem, the crowds would bow down and show signs of respect and obedience to the triumphal leaders that were entering the city. That's how you entered the city of Jerusalem if you were somebody important, if you were somebody truly powerful. In the eyes of the world, you entered from the west, and you rode the largest horses that could be found. And you had elaborate entourage that was surrounding you. So here's Jesus. He's riding a donkey, a young donkey, and he's coming in from the east instead. And there are crowds that are following him, and they are treating him just like he's a king ready to ascend his throne. They're throwing their clothes down in front of him, their cloaks, and they're waving palm branches, which is also an interesting thing. The Gospel of John is the only one who says these are palm branches, but palm branches are the secret symbol of the revolution to overthrow the Roman Empire. And it was the secret among those who hated the Roman Empire. They could grab a palm branch and wave it, and it was a way that they let one another know that they were a part of a new age, and that they were part of the resistance. They were part of those who were not going to accept the government that was currently in charge and meddling with everybody's lives and bringing so much destruction. You waved the palm branch as a way of showing that you were ready to join a movement that was going to bring something different. Now, another thing that we surely can imagine that makes sense is that this was a very joyous and happy occasion. I mean, here's Jesus, and it's a sort of a satire on the powers that were in charge of everything. It's a satire to ride a donkey instead of a large horse. It's a satire to be waving palm branches instead of the banners of the Roman Empire. It's a satire for people to be laughing and waving instead of bowing down and being totally silent and submissive as the powerful leaders passed by when they entered the city from the west. There is a sense of rejoicing, and people are crying out, Hosanna, a Hebrew word which means save us. Very clearly, the theme of the day was a theme that it was time for a big change. What was going on was not acceptable. Time to resist, time to overthrow, time to find a new person to be obedient to. There is a strong sense of joy on that day, a sense of laughter. And so here's Jesus, and he's riding down the hill. Fortunately for the poor donkey, he doesn't ride back up the hill into the city of Jerusalem. He gives the donkey a break, as we would expect Jesus would in being kind to animals. He gives the donkey a break, but the triumphal parade is down the hill on a donkey, palm branches, children, people yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. And there is great hope in the air that day. I want to mention all of this because Jesus is giving us an example of the difference between hard power and soft power. It is the hard power that is exercised by King Herod. It's the hard power that is exercised by the generals of the Roman military. It is the hard power that is practiced by the emperor of Rome. And history is full of stories of the exercise of hard power. In fact, pretty much when you read history, that's pretty much what you read about is the hard power. I'm reading a book currently on the use of atomic weapons in order to end World War II and defeat the Japanese. Hard power is what we're most familiar with. Hard power is something that we like to use if we can. And yet, Jesus came to overthrow all of the stuff that was going on in his day. He came to overthrow it, not with hard power, but he came with soft power. He rode a donkey. He just rode down the hill through a very treacherous pathway and roadway. He invited people of all ages to come and join him, not just those who were of fighting age. And he was even going to return the donkey when the whole thing was over so as to not take advantage of anybody. And here's Jesus. He's coming in coming toward the city of Jerusalem using this soft power. And I think for us, it is an appropriate image these days for those of us that are so agitated about the things that are going on, the things that are happening, that are making life so difficult for so many people, the things that are happening that are incredibly unjust, as they were in the days of Jesus. And as we celebrate this image today, as we wave palm branches ourselves in our churches, we are reminding ourselves of the powers that Jesus taught us, the power that comes from laughter, the power that comes from a palm branch in its flexibility and its beauty and its joy. The power that comes from satire, a marvelous intelligence that is able to see things differently and cut through the illusions and understand the truth. The power that Jesus showed us is the power of children who are celebrating with hope and exuberance and joy. It is the power, as the breeze blew through the crowd that day, of a soft wind which revives and refreshes and begins to give us a sense of energy ourselves. So here comes Jesus in a scene that continues to challenge our weariness and our depression and our frustration and our being stuck and not quite being able to think creatively or imaginatively in how we're going to deal with a situation. Palm Sunday continues to be for us a call to the soft powers of love and grace and satire instead of the hard powers that we see everyone else around us exercising. Thanks be to God for this image and this power, which is the power that comes from God.